The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Spirit-empowered, whatever terminology you want to use. I don't like labels. But what I do like is God showing up. That's what I like. I don't care what you call it, because I do not want to go to a church where you walk in and you know exactly what's going to happen from the time you sit in the seat to the time you go out the door. And, you know, I know that makes people a lot more comfortable. We sometimes lose people because we're a little uncomfortable for them when it comes to worship, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, when it comes to people, prophecy, spiritual gifts in operation, tongues and interpretation, and all these things that I believe is an important part of the New Testament church today. Without that, we just become a religious organization.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And religious organizations are just, that's what they are. They're organizations. They're not organisms. We want to be an organism that grows, that expands, that allows the Spirit of God to feed us and water us and cause us to move in new directions, new dimensions, new places, move out of these comfort zones that we're in into new places of power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, we want to talk a little bit about these things. It's important to believe and to know that God is going to show up, not only in this place, but wherever you go, in your workplace, wherever God has called you, whatever you're doing in your life, God is showing up every day to minister to you and help you minister to others. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, I've worked construction off and on my whole life. And one of the things that I realized, there's not a better place to share Jesus than with a bunch of rough and tumble construction workers. Sometimes they don't want to hear it. You know, that's just reality. But I can tell you this, from my experience, that when you're out there working and you set an example, that when they have crisis in their life, they know who to come to for prayer.
That's right.
And that, you know, I'm not saying that you run up to them every day and tell them that they're a rotten sinner and they need to be saved. If you do that, you're probably going to get punched. I'm telling you, you live the life. They see you conduct your life in a different way than everyone else. They understand that when God speaks to you to speak something into their life, that it's supernatural because it's the only way that you could know about what is going on. You see that? This is what we're talking about. These gifts operating in your life on a regular basis. I want the fire to fall in this place. I want the fire to fall in such a way that when we walk out of this place, we're all on fire. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, what is wrong with those people? They're burning up. Listen, if we're burning up, if we'll burn up for the Lord, the world will, just like John Wesley said, the world will come and watch you burn. They want to see it. Maybe for some of them it's just entertainment. I don't know. But the power of God is real. Amen. Hallelujah. There was an old country preacher that was speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he thought he would be theatrical. And he bought a dove, and he told a young man, he had a hole, I think it was an old pipe that ran up through the ceiling. There was a hole in their country church in the ceiling. And he put a young man up there in the attic, and he said, when I say, and the Holy Ghost fell, I want you to throw that dove down through that hole. And he got to that point where he said, and the Holy Ghost fell. Nothing happened. He said, and the Holy Ghost fell. Still nothing happened. Finally, he stopped for a minute, and he heard a little voice up in the attic say, Pastor, a cat ate the Holy Ghost. You want me to throw the cat down? That's bad, isn't it? But you know, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. In the form of a dove. I mean, this was the Holy Spirit manifesting in the natural so that people could see it. And it came as a form of a dove and it landed on Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that. This is good stuff. I hope you have your spiritual ears on this morning to hear what I'm about to say. I like to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit at least once a year so that we'll understand what God has for all of us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which your Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the end of the earth. Power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And part of that power is the things that I was talking about, is the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Billy, will you please get me some water? I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that to you this morning. The first thing I want to look at this morning is that the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. Baptized means, in the Greek, baptizo, it's to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge, to overwhelm. So when we think of baptism in any form, thank you, in the scripture, excuse me, we understand it to be completely immersed and submerged in whatever it is, in the water, in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus, as we are talking about. Now, you know, when it comes to water baptism, I've done extensive teachings about that, and we're just going to touch on it this morning. Of course, you know, there are whole denominations that all they do is sprinkle. And I got to tell you that I don't think salvation is in baptism. However, I do believe that baptism is a very spiritual experience that everybody needs to experience, and if we follow the example that we see in Scripture, then and what this word teaches us, then people should be submerged in water to be baptized. Are there going to be people in heaven that were sprinkled? Absolutely. You know, that God doesn't shut doors because of baptism. The door is shut on people when they refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the only thing that keeps us from our relationship with God and eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and of all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. What are we baptized into? One body. Whose body is that? Body of Christ. Jesus. So we are baptized into the body of Christ or into Jesus. We are when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to that place. It woos us, and he draws us, and he prepares us to receive Christ as a personal Savior. Now, many times in a service like this, or in an evangelistic service, it seems like it's just spontaneous that people accept Jesus as a personal Savior. But I can guarantee you, in most of those cases, God has been dealing with people's hearts. It's not the first time they heard the gospel message. It's not probably not the first time that they thought about receiving Christ as their personal Savior. The Holy Spirit has been working, wooing, encouraging them. In John chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, you can turn back to that scripture and we'll read just a little bit of that. What we're talking about is the born-again experience that Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to have. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus was teaching Nicodemus that there is a born-again experience that must take place. This is supernatural. This is exciting. And this happens in people's lives when they receive Jesus as a personal Savior. It's a change. It makes change in your heart. Makes a change in your thinking. Now, that's not the end of your growing in the Lord. There's a growth that needs to take place throughout your whole life. There's a stirring of the Spirit of God inside of you. One of the things that you need to do is be water baptized. The second thing we're going to be talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It needs to be a part of your experience in Jesus Christ so that you can continue to grow and move into the things of God. This experience that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about is one that the entire body of Christ, anyone who has truly received Christ as their personal Savior, is a part of. Everybody has received that. And they're called by the Holy Spirit. When Tammy and I first received Christ as our personal Savior, in 1978, is that correct? 78, okay. I told a group of people one time in 1979, and she told me later, she said, I don't know what took you so long. I was saved in 78. So, God had been dealing with my heart. See, I was raised in a Christian family, and I knew the truth, and I knew what it took for salvation. And God had been dealing with me, and we would lay in bed at night, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd cry. Because I knew what I needed. I needed Christ in my life. The Holy Spirit was dealing with us. And finally, one Wednesday evening, we just decided we were going to go to church. We went there, and we made that commitment. Now, did I have to go to church? No, but I knew that was a good place to go to get what I needed, to have people lead me to Christ. And we went that night, and we knelt at the altar, and we received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And we have not turned back since receiving Christ as our personal Savior. But that was the calling and the wooing, the Holy Spirit. You know, We were prepared. Our hearts were ready. It didn't matter. You know, that church could have been empty that night. It wouldn't have mattered. We could have gone in there and received Christ as our personal Savior because we were prepared by the Holy Spirit to do that. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. That, you know, God is wooing. And for some of you, maybe God has been working on you. Maybe you've not really come to that place where you've made that commitment to Jesus. But He's been working on you. He's speaking to you. He's calling you. He wants you. He's not going to let go of you. Amen? In 1912, there was an evangelist by the name of John Harper who was making a transatlantic journey. And he happened to choose the Titanic to travel on. And we all know the story of the Titanic hitting the iceberg and sinking. John Harper was an evangelist that was going, he was on his way to Bible, to Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And he was a true believer in Christ. He found himself in that icy water and knew that probably he was going to perish. But all he could think of was the souls that were all around him. And he would swim from one person to the next and tell them about Christ and beg them to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Not all did. Some of them rejected it. But he swam to this one gentleman in particular. He'd been swimming around and he was really tired and the water was getting to him, and he swam over to him and he just presented the gospel to this guy and he begged him to receive Christ as his personal Savior. And he didn't have any strength left, and he sank beneath the water. It was like 200 feet of water below him. And as he went down, he called out to the guy, "Receive Jesus and you shall be saved." The guy listened and he received Christ. Not only it later on, he was rescued, and later on he told people at a gathering of those who were rescued from Titanic. He said, "I was rescued twice that night. First, salvation in Jesus Christ by John Harper. And then the boat came along and rescued me." And he told the whole group of people, he said, "I have the privilege of being John Harper's last convert." He carried that with him his whole life. But you know what? Not everyone that John Harper preached to that night received Christ. Some people hear this message that I'm sharing with you, and they walk out the doors of the church, and they do not receive it. Sometimes they don't get back. It just happens. This life is short, and it's very hazardous. We do not know what's going to happen. But the number one thing I want to share with you this morning in this part of the message is that Jesus died for your sins. All you have to do is what the Scripture said. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you shall be saved. The second thing is the baptism that I want to talk about is disciples baptize believers in water. There's a water baptism. We talk about that quite often. We have baptisms here. In Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus told his disciples that they were to go out and baptize, make disciples and baptize them. And he was talking about baptizing them in water. So it's disciples that baptize. Now, a lot of people think that a pastor or evangelist or an apostle or one of the fivefold ministry has to do the baptism, but that's not the case. Disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you can baptize people. You know, you don't have to have credentials to do the work of the ministry. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. That we have to have man-made credentials to serve communion. We have to have man-made credentials to get people saved. We have to have man-made credentials to baptize people. That's nonsense. The only credentials you need is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you're a disciple. And disciples can do work of the ministry, no matter what it is. Praise God. Even preach. Some of you don't think you can preach, but you can. You preach every day, wherever you go, whatever you do. Baptized in Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized. Jesus was baptized. He's our example, so we need to recognize that Jesus was baptized. We follow Jesus as our example. And the third baptism I want to talk about this morning is Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us in Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit and fire. Does that make you nervous? For some people, it does. You know, I don't want to get too much of that Holy Spirit thing. You know, I've heard people, I've had people tell me that. You know, I like a real traditional, comfortable service where nothing strange happens. In the wrong church. Because some things happen here. Praise God, things happen here. I'm glad things happen here. But you're going to be baptized with fire, with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's something that is incredible. You know, when I build a fire, you take some sticks and you know, if you're going to build a fire for a wiener roast with the grandkids, we usually get some dry leaves or something, sacks or something that's dry, and you have to get it started, right? You have to kindle it. You have to get some small wood and kindle that fire. If you try to light a log, it just doesn't happen. How many have ever tried to light a log before? You know? I have. When I was a kid, we tried to, you find out real quick, there's a certain way you have to build a fire. There's nobody better at building a fire than my son-in-law, Brady. When Brady builds a fire, it burns. He takes about an hour to get it ready. But he builds a good fire, and it burns because he knows how to build that fire. I want you to understand this. The Holy Spirit knows how to build the fire in you, but you got to let him. You've got to desire it. You've got to call out to him. Build this fire in me, Lord. Baptize me with your Spirit and build this fire in me. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I don't want to just go through the motions. Listen, sometimes I come in here, I'm just going to be totally honest with you. Sometimes I come in here and I just feel like I'm going through the motions. But as I go through the motions, the Spirit of God moves in. The Spirit of God stirs me. The Spirit of God lights the fire. Sometimes we just have to do that. Sometimes we just have to, you know, we got to press on, press in, get as close as we can, work through this thing. Don't let your emotions stop you. Don't let your thinking hold you back. Cast those thoughts out. Take captive those thoughts and let the Spirit of God stir you from the inside out. There are, in the Gospels, there are synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. They're called synoptic Gospels because they're very similar Gospels. They have similar things, teachings. Basically, what they do is they go from the baptism of Jesus, and then they jump into the third year of his ministry, those three Gospels. However, John's Gospel, John decided, you know, we need to talk and tell about, he wrote his gospel some years later, we need to talk about some of the early years of Jesus' ministry, the first 2 years of his ministry. So John went back and he wrote his gospel and he talked about all these early things that took place. However, the really interesting thing about all four gospels is that in those gospels, there are just a few things that are talked about in every one of them. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, I submit to you this morning, if that's the case, we know how important the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is. Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit must be almost as important, or just as important, because it's part of every one of those gospels. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29 through 33. Beginning with verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I do not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So once again, we see that Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand something and see what is happening here. There's a transition that is happening from Old Testament to New Testament, or to the new way that God is dealing with his people through his Son, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and then he would depart. It would come upon them and then he would depart. He never remained. That's why it was so important when God spoke to John, that he said that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and when you see him come, he's going to remain upon Jesus. Jesus received the fullness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was the first one, and immediately after that, he went into the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil, and he came back, and he began to do mighty miracles because of the Spirit of God that was leading and directing him. There's three baptisms that we talked about this morning. Baptism, receiving Christ, that the Holy Spirit woos us and brings us to Christ. Baptism with water, all very important. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit that we need to receive. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. I'm going to read this scripture once again. Let's just jump down to the part, verse 8, because we've already read it. He says this to them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I can't stress this enough this morning. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. There's an evidence sometimes of speaking in tongues immediately when people will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they get the evidence of speaking in tongues at another time. They're in their prayer closets. But I can tell you this, in order to manifest the speaking in tongues part, you have to open your mouth and allow the Spirit of God to stir you, stir inside of you. Tina, put a couple of those other scriptures up there that I had. I think we need to go back real quick and look at a couple things. Acts. There was one in Acts. No, that's not the one. Is there another one? Okay, there we go. Let's look at this. This is a good one right here. In Acts 8, 4 and 8, and then we'll look at a couple of these other ones. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying that this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. I want to point out to you, there is a dark world. There is a God of this world who has power, and he imparts power to his followers, to his disciples. This sorcerer was one of those people that was able to deceive people with miracles and sleight of hand. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself was also baptized, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, what I want us to see in this particular scripture is that they preached Jesus and they received Jesus as their personal Savior. All right, a lot of people would say, you receive the fullness of the Spirit when you receive Christ as your personal Savior. And in some cases, people do receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but not in every case. Many times, you have to do what the Scripture says and teaches, and that is, we're going to read that, you have to have people lay hands on you and pray for you. And you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not always. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just by asking God, and He pours it out upon you. But this is one of the ways that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're seeking it, we want to give you opportunity this morning to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the rest of this. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. What are they doing? They're praying that they're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received Jesus. They believed on Jesus. But there's something more that they need. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Yet, for as yet, He had not fallen upon them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to stop right there. Simon, you know, he asked to buy the gift, and the apostles tell him he's crazy. You can't get the gift that way. This is imparted by the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want you to see. They laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's just one of the ways. That's an order that God has established for us to receive from Him. And I must tell you, there is a transformation that takes place in your life when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most of you have heard my story about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Linda laid hands on me many years ago, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues almost immediately. But I want you to know that there was a process that took place in my life, because I grew up in a church that, although it was very spiritual, tongues was taboo. If you spoke in tongues, you were of the devil. So it was really difficult for me to, you know, accept these things. I had to find out for myself. So I had to study the Word of God myself. I wanted to see myself what the Word of God said. And when I started reading the Word of God, I began to realize, how can they say this is of the devil? Because everyone in the New Testament, the early New Testament church, received this and spoke in tongues. Why is it of the devil? Sometimes there are crazy doctrines that get started for one reason or another. Maybe they were trying to protect people. I don't know. I know some crazy things do go on when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We try to guard against that. But I want you to understand this, that when you open yourself up to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you also open yourself up to the intervention of the enemy trying to stop the power of God. So be aware of that. So anyhow, I studied it. I came to that place where I believed I wanted it. Linda laid hands on me that night. Linda Wells sitting right back there. She don't like me to tell this story. I'm leaving that the other part out. Yeah, everybody knows, that's right. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It changed my life. Jesus changed my life. I received Him. Changed us. We changed immediately. Our life was different when we received Christ, our personal Savior. We were partying up to that point. Smoking dope, drinking beer, you know, alcohol, everything, you know, all the things that go along with partying. We had a group of people that we partied with. We received Jesus, and we went to the parties, and there just wasn't anything there for us anymore. It was different. We felt like outsiders. They didn't necessarily say, we don't want you here anymore. We just didn't fit in. Our thinking, our heart, our lives had changed. And then when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was radical. It was just crazy. Because we began to see the move of God in a supernatural way in our lives. We began to hear things from the Spirit. We began to get words of wisdom and knowledge and operate in the gifts in a way that was just, you know, it wasn't freaky. It wasn't Twilight Zone kind of stuff. I think that's what people think about when you think about the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of the Spirit. And most of us in here know what Twilight Zone is. Some of you may not. I'm dating myself, I guess. But, you know, the eerie, spooky stuff, that's not what God's all about. But I'll tell you what, He will shake you. He will. When He speaks something into your life through somebody and you say, how in the world could they know that? They can't, but God can. Because He knows everything about you. These things are so important. Tina, give me that picture. We're going to wrap this up. I've already gone longer than I wanted to. What do you see? Pickles. Yeah, that's right. You see pickles. But you know, actually what you're looking at are cucumbers. Right? Okay. They're cucumbers that's been, you know, somebody's canned those, put pickling spices in there and the right water and the right temperature. And what do you have to do with those? You have to set them on the shelf for a while, don't you? Usually not very good if you open them or if you eat them right away. Tammy made some delicious pickles this year that I just enjoy eating them, particularly when she cooks a rabbit for me, and you know, some of you are going, ooh. Gravy, yes. Oh, and then I eat some pickles along with it. Oh, there's nothing better. I'm telling you, some of you are really missing out. But pickles, that's what we call them. Because what? We put them in there. We've let them set for a while in the right environment. We actually have changed the name from cucumber to pickle. And you know, sometimes we think of pickles as not a good thing spiritually. Depends on whether you like pickles or not. But that's what we are. When I'm telling you, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get a change that takes place inside of you. But it's not just a one-time change. There is a supernatural experience that takes place. But it's not just a one-time change. It's an ongoing pickling that takes place in your heart that causes you to be more receptive to the things of God, to hear Him, to receive His direction and His power in your life. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.